Imagine a massive manufacturing plant, right? It just suddenly goes totally dark, production halts, machines freeze, and, you know, millions of dollars start draining away.
Yeah, and not because the regional power grid failed, but just because their internal electrical junction was built to save a few bucks up front.
Exactly. So today we are taking a deep dive into the hidden architecture of our power systems, specifically substation busbar configurations. We're looking at how engineers organize these massive electrical junctions, you know, trying to balance cost, space, and the terrifying risk of catastrophic downtime.
It really is a massive balancing act, yeah.
I mean, I guess you could think of a busbar like a giant high voltage power strip where incoming and outgoing circuits plug in.
Well, the power strip analogy works, but actually a high voltage highway interchange is a bit better. The stakes are just wildly different.
How so?
Unlike your home power strip, if an industrial busbar fails, an entire factory loses power. Or, you know, you might have to shut down a massive facility just to clean insulators during routine maintenance.
Wow. Yeah, that is a huge difference. So let us start simple with the single busbar. It is cheap, it is straightforward to build, but the fatal flaw is that any fault or even just maintenance de-energizes the entire substation.
Right. Every single circuit connected to it shuts down.
But wait, if the cost of a factory going dark is so massive, I mean, why would a single busbar even be an option on the drawing board?
Well, it mostly comes down to a brutal compromise between physical space and budget. Sometimes you just do not have the physical footprint for anything bigger.
Especially with older setups, right?
Exactly. The older air-insulated setups take up a lot of room. Though engineers can now use gas-insulated setups where special gas resists aren't much better than ambient air.
Which lets them pack things closer together.
Right. But usually, it really is just about the money. Choosing a cheaper scheme does not eliminate costs. It just shifts your upfront capital expenditure into downtime risk later.
I see.
A smaller facility might gamble on that. But for those who cannot afford to, engineers use immediate step-ups, like a single bus bar with sectionalizer.
And a sectionalizer is basically putting a barricade right in the middle of that single highway, right?
You got it. It splits the bus in half with a breaker. So if one side needs maintenance or has a fault, that center breaker trips.
Oh, isolating the problem while the other half stays energized?
Yeah, exactly.
Ah!
And another step up is the main and transfer bus. Right. That physically adds a secondary backup bus.
Like a dedicated detour lane.
Right. It is used solely to route power around a specific circuit breaker when it needs to be taken out of service.
Okay, but those still sound like workarounds for a fundamentally limited design. I mean, when a facility absolutely cannot afford a power drop, you have to move to the heavy hitters, like the ring bus.
Oh, absolutely. The ring bus is great because it is a literal closed loop. If one section suffers a fault, the breakers on either side open to isolate just that damaged part.
And because it is a loop, power just flows the other way around the circle so the rest of the circuits stay alive. Which brings us to the gold standard. The breaker and a half configuration. Now, I have to ask, because this name is so bizarre, how can you possibly have half a circuit breaker?
I know, it sounds weird, but it's just math. You place three breakers across two main buses to serve two circuits.
Okay.
So three shared breakers divided by two circuits means each circuit effectively gets 1.5 dedicated breakers.
That is fascinating. So the middle breaker is essentially shared territory.
Yeah, and that shared territory is brilliant engineering. Any single breaker or even an entire main bus can be taken out of service without interrupting power to either circuit.
Wow.
It gives incredible redundancy, which is why it's standard practice for critical high voltage substations.
Since that math is so bulletproof, where do engineers actually screw this up in practice?
Well, picking the cheapest scheme without doing a proper reliability analysis for the facility is a massive blunder. Another big one is underestimating short circuit currents.
Right, because a short circuit isn't just a tiny spark, right?
Oh, not at all. It is a massive, violent spike in power. If the equipment isn't rated for it, the sheer thermal heat and magnetic stress will literally, physically tear the equipment apart.
That sounds absolutely terrifying.
It really is. And finally, there's a failure to leave base space.
You mean the physical land needed for future hardware?
Exactly. You might save some real estate now, but in 5 years when you need a new transformer, you end up having to demolish and rebuild the whole substation.
Just because you didn't leave an empty bay. So ultimately, busbar design isn't just an engineering puzzle. It is a complex financial calculation for you and your business.
Right. Balancing those upfront capital costs against the severe risk of downtime.
Exactly.
Which really makes you think, look around at the critical systems in your own business or even your daily life.
Yeah, I mean, where have you unknowingly accepted a single bus bar, you know, a single point of failure just because it was cheaper or easier upfront?
Right, without ever calculating the true cost of it going down.
That is definitely a question we all need to ask ourselves before signing off on the cheapest option. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we will catch you next time.